This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
So the Post, and again, we're not going to mention names or anything, but the Post is basically this consultant in safety that's saying he went on site and someone had cut the high-vis jacket. And the consultant's response was, "Why are you wearing a health and safety bra?" The young man looked at me puzzled and then said, "It started off a high-vis and now you've converted it." He looked at me hopefully feeling silly, and hopefully won't do it again because he'll be wearing a PPE bra. Then finished the post by saying, "Do you think I was harsh, or will this young lad learn from it?"
The deepest of breaths. There's multiple layers to the frustration. First of all, it's condescending. Also, there's a gendered element to it where it's like the worst thing you could be is in any way associated with something female, like a bra. The bragging element on LinkedIn about it. There's a few people who challenged in the comments, but there's actually a hell of a lot more people, safety professionals, in the comments saying how absolutely you're so right, taking out the whole, if we're talking about high vis in relation to not getting knocked down, you've missed a couple of elements before that as well. I think this is more the reality of what frontline workers are dealing with in terms of interactions from safety professionals than what we would hope or imagine is actually happening out there. This is the reality.
So you've actually now got an on-the-floor worker. So he's basically saying, high vis or a pain in the arse. That's a good example of like the opportunity of learning that we've lost from just talking to this person. Like, why did you cut it?
Yeah. Drew Ray commented on my post. So
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, absolute panic stations. They are so proud that they were not curious about this young fella's experience whatsoever. It's just, there's a rule, you didn't follow it, you must be silly and wrong. No. Like, this is not about new view, anything. Like, this is, can we please think critically, actually manage risk, and while we're at it, could we treat people with decency and respect?
Alisa, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Do you want, in case anyone strangely enough doesn't know who you are, because now you're like a celebrity, really, women's safety. Come on. Do you want to introduce yourself? I'm Alisa, and I'm kind of a big deal.
Gross. Hiya, I'm Alisa. I'm Alisa Lynch. I work in safety. I used to work in construction. Now I work in pharma, which I swore I would never do for a long time. That's it. And I'm a rebranding safety guest alum. This is my
alum. Yeah.
Alumni? How do the Americans say it?
No, I'm not really sure I know what that means, if I'm honest.
It's like, isn't it? They're like, I'm an alumni of a college or something. I don't know. Anyway, I was here before and now I'm back.
I think you've been on more than once. You've been on, this will be your third time, won't it?
Is it? No, I think we were on another podcast together. Humanizing Risk with Kristen.
That's it.
Oh, well, sure. I was on the panel with you I was on like one of the lives.
Yes, one of the lives. And you're a seasoned podcaster yourself. Do you want to plug your podcast, mate?
I will plug it because I never do. I'm like, this is awkward. But yes, I have a podcast called Speak with Crystal Danbury, where we just kind of come on and chat about safety and work. And then we have the Speak Seat and people come on. And if they have something burning they want to chat about, they do that too.
Awesome. And you were invited on this episode about 3 minutes ago.
About 3 minutes ago via WhatsApp. Yeah.
So we'll go through the whole structure in a minute. We will go through it, but give people context just to demonstrate how much of a fucking legend I think you are. Me and you, so I was going to come on and talk about this topic that we're going to talk about anyway, but me and you were of WhatsApp ranting like we do about a LinkedIn post. And I was like, well, just so happens I'm about to press record in a podcast. Do you want to come on? I can send you a link. And you were like, well, now? Yeah, now. Okay, give me 2 minutes. And that, Alisa, is some top-notch That is some top-notch legendary material right there. I love it.
Yeah.
So well done, mate.
Thanks. I was like, run around, reboot the laptop, all that. Yeah. I had literally just gone, shut down, go to the couch, head for Netflix for Bridgerton, because it's yesterday was Bridgerton day. But I've paused Bridgerton to come and speak to you. So I hope you realize that's a pretty fucking big deal.
I feel privileged.
You should.
Or you actually felt like me and was like, I need to just say these things out loud. I need to just do something. And it's got to come out of me. Okay, so let's start off with the structure. What have we been up to this week?
What have I been up to this week? So work-wise, kind of doing some deep dives on processes and a lot of learning. So as I said, I've recently moved to pharma. So literally everything I look at is brand new for me. So I'm on a big learning curve. So yeah, work-wise, that's kind of what I've been up to. And yeah, just kind of trying to get insights and build relationships and all that kind of stuff. So it's been good. And I had somebody from warehousing this week, like, tell me something that I know wouldn't be told easily. I had a win with the kind of the trust stuff. I walked away going, fucking yes.
Nice.
So yeah, that was good.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I have had work-wise kind of all been meetings and prep, because we're going to, as you are as well, going to Berlin next week. And I'm a very non-traveled person, so I haven't really left Northamptonshire my entire life, short of going like two or three holidays. So when we were obviously setting all of this up with the team that run the congress, I was like, yeah, that'd be great. And then we kind of got the gig and that, we're like, oh my god, this is gonna be so good. And then like about 3 to 4 weeks ago, we were like, how are we gonna get all of this workshop and podcast and camera stuff and marketing stuff actually to a different country?
To Berlin.
Didn't really think about that. So I was like, yeah, we can do a workshop. Yeah, we can do a podcast. Yeah, we can do a video. And then it was like, shit, how the hell am I going to get all this out there? So that's been probably dominating my mind this week and my work hours. And then I'm doing a workshop. And so bring us on to the next agenda item, which is the main bulk of our conversation, is what's been on our minds this week. I've been prepping for this workshop, and obviously because of everything we do is kind of structured around that whole rebranded safety kind of notion of what we started this podcast and the YouTube channel for. So the whole workshop, well, the first part of the workshop is about the brand of safety. So I've been thinking about that a lot this week. I'm thinking, does this still exist, or am I like, perpetuating my own, I don't know, arrogance? I don't know. There's a word there. Do you know what I mean? When you just kind of, it doesn't actually exist. You're just in your own echo chamber.
Yeah.
And then just as I get to press record, Pete and Carly in the little team WhatsApp group that we've got, Pete puts his post on being like, James, let me know if my comment on this post is like too much, like business-wise. And I'm like reading the thing, and I'm like, too much. I was like, motherfucker, you need to tag me in this. Like, I want to get in here. Like, what the hell is this? So that's been on my mind, is this whole brand of surgery. And then obviously that's how you've come on the podcast. So we'll get into that. I do want to caveat, we will not mention names as we go through this conversation.
My name.
Of like, Dave said this, and Dave's a prick or anything like that. But
his name isn't actually Dave now that you picked a random name. And then it's probably not.
There's no Dave in it.
No, it's not. It's not Dave. So let's call
him. I bet you Dave C's in there though. I haven't seen him, but I bet he is.
Oh, he is in there. Yeah. He is. I haven't seen him in ages. And then he popped up, followed somebody else into the comments, and there he is.
Do you like go through LinkedIn and then you're like, oh, there'll be a Rob Long blog about that in a couple of weeks? Oh, there's a Rob Long blog. I was like, I saw this and I was like, Rob Long is all over this motherfucker.
Listen, he wouldn't be wrong. He wouldn't be wrong in this instance.
No. So, I mean, I'm going to say what's been on your mind this week, but we're going to talk about this anyway. So, like,
yeah,
what's the best way to start? Shall I kind of, I'll summarize the post, shall I? That's probably the best way. So the post, and again, we're not going to mention names or anything, but the post is basically this consultant in safety that's saying he went on site and someone had cut the high-vis jacket kind of just below where the band, hey, look, I've got a little baby high-vis here. We can use this. This is why my daughter was brought this when she was born, right? So a little mini high-vis. For those that are on camera, you'll be able to see, but essentially just below the chest area, they've cut the bottom of the high-vis off. And the consultant's response was, why are you wearing a health and safety bra? And then he said, the young man looked at me puzzled, and then said, it started off a high-vis and now you've converted it. He looked at me hopefully feeling silly was an interesting bit for me. So he wanted the employee to feel silly for what he had done, and hopefully won't do it again because he'll be wearing a PPE bra. Then finished the post by saying, do you think I was harsh, or will this young lad learn from it?
Deep fucking breaths. The deepest of breaths.
Woosah. I got a message from Pete on our WhatsApp where he screenshot. Oh, he sent someone else's thing as well. So he's screenshotted one of his comments because somebody else had commented challenging. That a lot of people have challenged it, which is nice to see. But he said, what did he say? Oh, you've made a good point questioning him, but making or attempting the young man to feel silly, especially on site, isn't going to be anything positive. Did you ask him why he shortened it? May have been due to an incident, long and straddly, getting it like drawn in and all of that risk. Pete's put a beautifully sarcastic comment, and it's classic. Peter Jenkins. You have to read it a couple of times to get it.
I read it like four times, but then I was like, oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah. I was like, I think I know where he's going. I've been working closely with this guy now for a long time. I feel like I know where he's going, but I'm going to read it again. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's really good. So Pete's put on a really sarcastic comment. And then I loved your just factual response, mate, of just giving them work, like giving them references to Drew Ray, David Provan, Greg Smith's work. I really liked it, mate. I thought that was quite reserved for you, actually.
Oh, listen, I reposted and absolutely cut him to shit on my own page.
Did you? I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a whole other conversation going over on my page.
No way. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, I was not that. Look, could I be that gracious? But no, it's not in me. No.
What's your frustrations about it? So the person, the consultant's gone on site, he saw someone's cut their high vision hair, and he's then referenced it as a health and safety bra. He's gone out with the intention of embarrassing this person because he literally says, hopefully this person feels silly and that he wants him to learn from it. So like, if I'm like a real new kind of safety person and I'm reading this thinking there's nothing wrong with this, that's our job. What's your kind of frustrations?
So I suppose there's multiple layers to the frustration. The approach is, first of all, it's condescending. Also, there's a gendered element to it where it's like the worst thing you could be is in any way associated with something female, like a bra. Not only that, then it's the bragging element on LinkedIn about it. And actually, not only the guy who posted, there's a few people who challenged in the comments, but there's actually a hell of a lot more people, safety professionals, in the comments saying how absolutely you're so right. This is exactly right. Blah, blah, blah. This guy's going to get knocked down. It's like, so first of all, he's in a fucking stairwell. There's carpet on the floor. You can see in the image. So taking out the whole what is high-vis for, so everybody needs to calm down. Taking out the whole, if we're talking about high vis in relation to not getting knocked down, you've missed a couple of elements before that as well. Yeah. So there's that, like,
there's just so much wrong with it.
There's so much wrong with it. And also, if we go back to like what you had mentioned earlier about being in echo chambers, and like, I definitely am in an echo chamber on LinkedIn at times, and we're talking about new viewer, we're talking about whatever, and we think we're moving in this direction. And I just don't think we are. I don't think it's as widespread. I think this is more the reality of what frontline workers are dealing with in terms of interactions from safety professionals than what we would hope or imagine is actually happening out there. This is the this is the reality. Mm. And there's a fucking arrogance to it that is just gross.
Yeah, it's horrible. This kind of notion that immediately because you're a safety professional, and ironically as well, a consultant. So as a consultant, I'm allowed to slag off consultants. Like, there is this kind of, there's a trade-off of being a consultant, right? The good thing is we get to see so many different industries, which gives us kind of mass cognitive diversity, like loads of different problems that we can solve, and we can take this solution and take it over here. And that's a really good thing. The trade-off, what makes us therefore, is a jack of all trades, right? Kind of master of none, but often better than master of one, is the if you didn't know that. There's a trade-off to it. So there's a slight arrogance to your point that this consultant thinks automatically he knows better than everyone, which is kind of like, I think that comes a bit natural with this old brand of safety, which is really frustrating. The gendered element I didn't really pick up on until someone in the comments specifically brought up the gendered element, which I thought was just really disappointing. So like, someone else has then commented saying, at first started off being serious, like, we don't want to kind of, we don't know the context as to whether sarcasm would work on that site, which I think is a fair point. Sometimes banter and sarcasm works really well. Okay, fair enough. But then finished by saying, but be careful, he could have said he identified as a woman, and that would have been bye-bye, nice career you had there. And I was just like, great. So
I saw that comment, and I tell you, my eyes rolled so fucking far back in my head. And there's a few. Oh, look, I wasn't even, like, I copped the gendered element immediately, but I wasn't even going to say it in any of my comments, because, to be honest, I just thought it would fucking fly over most of these people's heads, honest. Yeah. But I saw that comment. There's a few more like it of, oh, next you'll have high-heeled boots on, all this kind of shite. I just have no time for it. It just is pathetic.
I literally commented saying, when I thought this thread couldn't get any worse, like, it's just, there is this reinforcing of this negative brand of safety. Then we've had an interaction on site where we've learned nothing, and the interaction has then reinforced that negative brand of safety. The post then reinforced that brand of policing safety, which just is even more frustrating. I've touched on the same as what you touched on. There's still yet no conversation in safety about the fucking PPE being the lowest band of the hierarchy of control. And yet nobody ever talks about segregation, which is just so frustrating. Yeah. And there's just this whole, I thought we'd have lots to say about this, if I'm honest, but I'm that frustrated. I've run out of words. And there's another comment here saying they are a pain in the ass. They catch on everything, and they're so long in getting away. That's why people cut them. I used to wear an orange short vest. You can tell the ones that have never been worn 10 hours, because 10 hours a day, they got all graft on them. So you've actually now got him like a on the floor worker. He says he's basically it looks like he works in a car service. So he's basically saying high vis are a pain in the ass. So that's a good example of like the opportunity of learning that we've lost from just talking to this person. Like, why did you cut it?
Yeah. There's actually, on the post that I made about it, Drew Ray commented on my post. And
look at you, big timer.
I fucking know. I was like, and he like doesn't comment often. So I was like, of course not.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh my
God. Absolute panic stations. And then I was like, oh shit. I was hoping, like, please let him not be like, don't be a dick, Lisa. But anyway, so he goes, I don't normally like feel that it's constructive to pick fights online, but there are so many layers of this to be embarrassed about. That I completely understand the need to vent. Then he goes, comments patting the poster on the back for using sexist bullying as a much gentler approach than the alternative, which was apparently to jump straight in to discipline the worker. Comments that show lots of concern for the reduced effectiveness of the vest, but zero concern for whether the original vest provided any protection or posed any risk. It was compliant with a standard, so it must have been good, and changing it must have been bad. Comments that are very concerned with a worker obligation not to damage PPE, but not at all concerned with the employer obligation to provide suitable PPE. Then he finishes with, but more than anything else, the proud lack of curiosity. And I just thought that sums it up for me, like, in a nutshell. They are so proud that they were not curious about this young fella's experience whatsoever. It's just, there's a rule, you didn't follow it, you must be silly and wrong. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think what makes this even harder to, like, because you probably experience it the same, right? Like, I think what people struggle with is so they'll listen to Drew, they'll listen to Provan, they'll listen to Decker, Conklin, you know, the list goes on of all these people, they read all the books. And then they get to work and they find the implementation, the action, taking the action off of this stuff is really hard. Yeah. And we do a lot of that in our line of work, and I know you do as well. I think it's hard because of that, like what Drew was saying there, that just sheer, just proud nature of this kind of go around and reinforce the rules, regardless of whether we think the rules are right. Well, not even, we don't even get as far as thinking the rules are good or bad. We just assume they are good. So I find I get really stuck in this place where I'm just like, I'm saying this stuff and everyone's kind of like, yeah. But then when they do it, they go back to this. So it's just like, I'm trying to think of like, it's not like an echo chamber. It's like wading through fucking treacle. Like it just feels impossible sometimes to like navigate this and actually take action off of this.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be an amazing episode, but I'm genuinely just lost for words now, which I'm really annoyed by.
The other thing of it, like, and you know, I've had chats with people who maybe would be like that, leaning towards New View, or I started learning about New View in like 2012 and it's still like still trying to get to that implementation phase, all that. This isn't even that. Like, this is not about New View, anything. Like, this is, can we please think critically, actually manage risk, and while we're at it, could we treat people with decency and respect? Now, there's definitely people in that comment thread who are saying, oh, it's just banter and all this. And absolutely, and it's a construction site. There will be a level of banter, but not humiliation, and that is different.
But that's not banter. Because
that's not banter.
That's not banter at all. Banter would like banter is like equal level, like just bantering. And this is someone from a position of power targeting a person to enforce a rule. That's not banter.
Yeah.
If you use sarcasm and banter to deliver that, okay, maybe fair enough. Like using humor and stuff works, I think, sometimes. But ultimately, I wouldn't say that was just banter. Because it's not. He's trying to enforce something from a position of power. So I wouldn't say that is banter. Using humor and sarcasm, maybe he is, which again brings us back to the very sensitive, like, and just like, is that kind of gendered approach? That's a bigger conversation. But like, I just don't have any words because I just I don't get how people don't get it now. Like that's the thing. And is it because we're in an echo chamber? Maybe. But why are we not coming back to, like, I fucking probably, well, I think a lot of people find it annoying in general that I talk too much. But, like, I talk a lot about risk assessments and the pitfalls paper that the HSE did in 2003. And that one of the, and all of the things that they raised, so 19 pitfalls, not one of them have been resolved. They're all still there every single day. So we're still really shit at risk assessments. And I think you and Crystal spoke about this on your podcast around going back to basics and stuff, if I remember rightly, and that we hadn't even fucking got past basics, but yet we're still talking about this shit. And risk assessments would be one of them. And one of the things they raise on that paper is that the lack of consideration for ALAP as low as reasonably practicable, which I don't see as low as reasonably practicable anywhere anymore. Like, really, I genuinely don't see people writing a risk assessment and trying to manage the risk as low as reasonably practicable. High vises are one of the examples I use all the time because we never segregate anymore. We never segregate. So the fact, and I think Drew touched on this, but the fact that we just arrogantly, confidently, just proudly posting this, belittling this person without any accountability to the fact that if you need high vis, we probably haven't really done a very good job ourselves from a safety point of view. So should we put a post belittling me as well as a safety professional? Because I'm clearly shit at what I do. I just don't get it. And all of the fucking letters after his name and everything, so much of the shit that pisses me off.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one other guy who commented and was like, first of all, he was like, some interesting comments on this post, some valid, some ridiculous, and some from the woke brigade. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, if you could ever pin your colors to the mast of, like, when you're using that kind of language, I'm like, okay. If me treating people with respect and not being a dick is being woke, then I have to be woke. But anyway, but he goes on to say, we health and safety professionals are never popular on site. So being able to have a joke and laugh helps maintain a constructive relationship where people want to listen and engage. I'm like, it's like you're here, you're getting the point, and then you complete the fucking point. Like, how?
Could you imagine? Can you imagine if you were in the room with the person saying that, and you're like, you know, when someone's struggling to get their words out, and you're like, you've got it, that's what that feels like. People don't like us. Yeah, okay, right. So let's follow that thread. Yeah, they don't like us. So what you've done here is perfect. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We were so close. The thing that gets me as well is this, like, they create their own little echo chamber. And I know we're in an echo chamber of, like, we're all in echo chambers, right? But, like, there's one comment, I won't read the whole thing, but, like, oh, that's hilarious, laugh face. I can just picture health and safety bra trend taking off on construction sites everywhere. You weren't harsh at all. Sometimes a good laugh is the best teacher. And they go on and go on. And then the poster puts, oh, thanks. That one is a name. Thanks, blah, blah. And then the person goes, don't worry. Great. Like, and I'm just like, oh. But
yeah. And it's like a good laugh for who?
Yeah.
Probably not the guy wearing the fucking high vis, right?
And I just, what made you, I'll ask you a question here, what made you, granted you did the post, so maybe this negates the question, did you do the post, the repost first or the comment first?
The comment post pointing out the different resources.
Yeah.
I actually don't know. I was in a fucking frenzy on LinkedIn this morning. But, I think, I was further down on the thread on the original post,
right,
getting into it with some guy about actually high vis. And then I was like, oh, fuck it. And I put a link to the specific episode on the Safety of Work podcast to him. And then that's when I was like, actually, I'm going to make a full comment.
Because I really like what you've kind of done is that's one of my favorite podcasts is you're not. You know, what is it? you're not so smart, you're not so stupid or something like that.
Yes.
And there's one in there about when, if you're trying, it was during the whole anti-vaccination conversation after COVID, and like how to have a conversation with someone who's anti-vax, and if you're passionately supportive and they're passionate not, how to navigate that conversation. And it was fascinating, like how to basically deal with a conversation where someone really doesn't agree with you. And
was it, were they talking about like deep canvassing? Was it that?
It was like that rings a bell. It was like approaching it with curiosity, as opposed to approaching it with, so you're being like, so why do you think like that? Well, because of this, because of that. Oh, and what does that paper kind of say? And then you said, well, I'm coming at this from like, I followed this study, and that's where I've thought about. And they said this, what do you think about that? And it was just a conversation, a curious conversation between two people from different places, which I was like, wow, this is amazing. Your comment kind of leans towards that, where you're kind of going, here's some recommendations of like things that this is my side of the fence. Like, what made you get on that route? Or is it because I've already done my ranting down here in this comment, and then I'm going to rip the shit out of him in this other thing, but now I'll be nice? Or was it like, was it tactical?
There was a tactical element of it. And that being, when we talk about the echo chambers, right? And we've talked about them, and it's like, how do we get to other people? Or I remember like having recently had a few conversations with Anna Keen about like, how do we reach the people outside of our circles? How do we reach people who, like, we'll say young safety professionals or whatever, who aren't on LinkedIn, all this kind of stuff?
Yes, yeah.
But when we talk about like, not even new echo chambers, but just people who want to do this stuff really well. And I looked at this thread of comments, and I was like, this is where they are. Look at everybody on this thread who's like, well done, man, this was class. I was like, oh, these are the people that I wish were listening to Dave Proven's podcast. These are the people I wish were, if I could give every one of them a copy of Greg Smith's book, I would.
Nice.
So that was my thought process of, I'm going to stick this in here, and hopefully they might see it in the melee of all the other shite in the comments.
I think that's really good, mate. I really like that. I really respect that, actually, as a position, particularly where I find LinkedIn terribly toxic at the moment. Like, I really should in the last 5 years have struggled with it.
If I'm being like fully transparent, over on my own post, I kind of got into it with this guy. And then he was like, oh, well, every response here is it, like, I'm made to look like a twat. And I was like, oh, fuck, that was not my intention, at all. And I wrote back and I was like, that wasn't my intention. And I was kind of a bit like, actually, I think maybe you're projecting. But anyway, it doesn't always go that well. This is a good idea. So, yeah.
Is LinkedIn the right place for us to be having these conversations? Because ultimately there is an alternative, really, is there? But there is, like, so when you were saying, like, you said about that person, he said, I'm made to feel like a twat, and you're like, well, that's not my intention. My intention is to probably, I mean, I know you quite well, but like, passionately debate and then understand both sides, and off we go. Okay, great. But you lose tone on text a lot. And I think you lose tone and you can lose context in any form of communication, but massively on LinkedIn, you lose tone. Even to a point where somebody commented on one of my posts the other day, and I was like, I feel like this is a dig. So I commented being like, is this a dig? ? And he was like, no, totally not a dig. I love your work, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, thank you. And then I just didn't understand the tone of what he was trying. I was like, is this sarcastic or is this real? It sounded sarcastic. But that was because of my bias. Like, I hugely just think everyone hates what I do, basically. So, like, I was like, oh, this is obviously a dig. So, and he was like, no, totally not a dig. We don't get that much on LinkedIn or any real social media. We just assume, and then it you know, like, have you ever, like, Batari's box? Have you ever heard, like, my attitude affects my behavior, which affects your attitude, which affects your behavior? And then that can spiral out of control and so on. That's like every single post on LinkedIn. Is this the right place for us to be having these conversations?
I mean, yes and no. Like, again, it's kind of what are our options?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think, and it's what are our options at scale? So I'm working in a team at the moment that, like, some frameworks or concepts or whatever that I would lean towards, they have not even heard of. So, like, I'm kind of planting the seeds within my own real life circle of influence. And hope then that they take it and pass it on to wherever they go. If they agree with it, they might go, this is bollocks. Like, we're not taking any of this on board. But so, you know, I think it's probably a multi-pronged approach. You have to kind of do it where you can in real life, where you have literally, like, you have all the context, all the tone. We work in the same place. We're dealing with the same stuff. This is how I approach it. This is how you approach it. How do we meet in the middle? Or how can we be as effective as we need to be? And then there will always be an online element now. That's the world we live in. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. It's probably not going to get any better, but yeah.
Mm. Because a really good example would be like, we're going to go to Berlin next week and there's going to be a load. I guarantee nearly everybody at Berlin next week would hate this post. And they would all be on our, I think, and most people that are there having those types of conversations would be coming at this probably from the same place that we're coming at this and feeling like this is not conducive to a positive outcome. But
yeah,
there's going to be another conference somewhere where this is celebrated. And it's like there's nothing that brings the two together, but I don't know where. I actually don't know where this stuff is celebrated, because if I go to the free conferences where, like, you know, like at Birmingham last week or whatever, or the 2 weeks ago, this approach is not really spoken about. Like, this isn't. So it's like, is this just a legacy that's just still lingering? But there's a lot of young people in these comments. Like you were saying, there's a reason you put that post, your reply on, was because, oh, here's the new up and coming people that still think like this. Like, where's that coming from? And that's what I don't get.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're picking up. I think it's probably, like, there's definitely elements of it within our streams of education coming into the safety profession. So you'd have lecturers and whatever who are delivering modules for safety professionals that have these kinds of attitudes. And I would say there's more that have these kind of attitudes about that kind of, like, behave. It's all behaviors. It's the rules. It's the legislation. Like, that's very much still our stream of entry and education. So I would imagine a lot of it comes from there. And also then there's just that, like, what is it? The fundamental attribution error of, like, well, if I was doing it, it's fine. There's a reason. But if somebody else is doing it, it's because they're a thick fucker. Like, that's,
yeah.
And that's not safety. That's just people. That's just humans. So like, it takes a lot to pull yourself away from that, you know?
Because I just get to the point where, like, I don't know. I tell you, I'll be honest with you where I feel with all of this. I feel exhausted by it, if I'm honest. Like,
yeah.
I started exploring this stuff like 6 years ago on the podcast and have dived so deep into it that I was drowning in it. And then removed myself from it, just thought, let's try and do some fucking work. And I come back out and, like, I'm like, right, we need to get fucking Rebrand and Safety back up. We need to get back on LinkedIn. We've been nowhere for like the last 2 years. And then I'm on LinkedIn. I'm like, oh, fuck me. Like, nothing's fucking changed. Like, do I really want to, like, what is this shit every day? And there's also this thing that I've been pondering for a long time as well, is this gap between, like, where we'll be talking about this stuff and, like, next week we're going to have some amazing conversations in Berlin and it's going to be amazing. I'm going to come away from that being like, wow. But in the back of my head, you know what? I'm always going to have because we're in Risperm, we're really lucky. We also work with like really small businesses doing like what we call technical consulting, like normal health and safety. And then we also work with big brands, big companies doing like transformational stuff. The little stuff is still this trickle down safety that me and you have spoke about in the past, where like big businesses are just trickling down standards of safety and demanding paperwork and genuinely just don't give a shit about what happens on site. And they'll say, we do give a shit, but in actual actions and behaviors, we don't see that follow through. Risk assessments are shit, management systems are shit, accreditations are just badge collecting, it's like fucking scouts for safety still. It's just all of this stuff, it just doesn't seem to be like, feel like you're talking to a brick wall, you know? And then you see something like this and you just think, what's the fucking point? And a real nice summary is, I don't know if you remember Jay, I know we said we weren't going to say names, but I know Jay really well, and he used to be in Project Meeting back in the day.
Oh, my God. I was like, Jay!
Yeah, and he, I've mentioned his name because he's kind of come off very positively in this, well, from my perspective anyway. But he finished his comment, which is a very big comment, with, you're a chartered member of IOSH and a fellow of RRSM. You didn't get there by chance or by luck, but I suspect by hard work and grit, people should look up to you as a safety leader. You have to do better. And I was like,
yeah, that's a good call out.
What a comment.
Yeah.
And that is like, the things that I get out of that, one, I think he's right. That person is being looked up to as a leader. He's a leader of a business. So he's leading clients and employees and subcontractors, freelancers, whatever. But ultimately, right, as a chartered member or a fellow member of both of the main big bodies in safety, with the clearly the bodies are not challenging this, or if anything, they're reinforcing this behavior.
Mm. Yeah.
What's it like in because you're obviously based in Ireland? Is it worse? Mm. Is it better? Is it similar? Is it like?
Yeah. Look, it's similar. There was a safety conference on in Dublin this week, actually. It's probably the main one. It's hosted by the Health and Safety Review, who are like the main publication here. Cost a fucking arm and a leg to go to it. So I was like, yeah, no. And similar with their publication, like you rarely, there's never anything different. There's never anything outside the standard. I know a few people who are at it that I actually meant to message and be like, please, was there anything that's
give me some hope?
Just was there any bit of a spark of fucking light here at all? But I doubt it. So now saying that, like there's a lot of great safety professionals here who aren't into New View or any of that kind of crap, but they follow traditional models, but they're really good at what they do and they're sound and they treat people with respect. But equally, there's a lot of people who are absolute fucking dickheads and who should have joined the guards. Like they should be a police officer because the power. And it's almost this thing of like, is it because you know you actually have no power when it comes to like influencing boards or business owners that you then just have to go around and treat the lads on site like shit?
That's interesting analogy. That's interesting insight, actually. Yeah. Because we have, like kind of if you're bullied at home, you go to school and you bully someone at school because you're bullied. Yeah.
Hurt people, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting insight, actually. And ultimately as well, like one of the things that I thought about when you were talking then when they're talking about in this post about using humor, and I was thinking about like, when we're just talking about Ireland, what the executive over there, I can't remember what the proper name for your HSE is.
We're the HSA.
HSA. So the HSE, what they're doing, they're utilizing humor in their videos that they're putting out. I don't know if you've seen a lot of their stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's the HSE NI. That's the Northern Ireland branch. Yeah, they're on.
Oh, that's the Northern Ireland branch, is it? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They're so good. They got these two comedians. Their videos are class and they're aimed at adults and they have swearing and they're just funny.
I could have sworn that was the Irish branch, but okay, it's the Northern Irish. But that is how you use humor. Like that is so good. And I would love to see the UK, HSE do that. Like, it's really good. That's how Youth Humour, where they're like, they're making, like, what does he talk? There's one where it's like, what's it like down on site? Do I have to drive slowly? And they're like, oh, it's bring your dog to work day. So there's like pups running everywhere. So like, just, and like the Irish accent as well, it just makes it so
it's brilliant.
It's just fucking great. And I'm like, this is what we need more of, not this shit that on here where we're using humor to belittle people and show our power or perception of power.
Yeah, it's, look, humor, and this goes for interactions on site, it goes for stand-up comedians, everyone. If you're punching down, that's not it. If you can't do it without punching down, I don't want it.
So what's your thoughts then on New View Academia / thought leaders that punch across at their own, that are quite cutting and belittling of their competition? So not competition, but like the, you know, like academia is meant to debate and argue, right? That's what they exist for. But sometimes the way they do it is a bit like, oh, come on.
Some of it's kind of, it's not very classy, put you that way.
It's the same as this, but like in a what, more highbrow way, I suppose.
If you need to, it's like, attack the idea, don't attack the person. Apart the idea, bring an alternative view, a different argument. But if you start, if there's name calling, if there's anything drugged or anything like that, it's like you're just undermining the whole thing. But actually, when you say the word thought leader there, fuck, that makes my skin crawl. Thought leader, fuck off. Like,
have you not been called a thought leader yet? Or like an influencer?
Oh my God.
I bet you've been called an influencer.
Hashtag follow my brand. Hashtag SpawnCon.
It makes me gip a little bit if I get called that.
Ooh. Yeah. I can't like, and also self-declared thought leaders. Please no. Please stop.
don't attack the person, Alisa. You don't attack the person, attack the
I'm
idea.
I'm attacking their idea that they are a thought leader.
How are we doing for time? 45 minutes, right. Okay, so last thing to ponder on this, and then we'll move on to the last, but we need to take someone's question really quick. What do we, I'm not going to say what, because I think we'll be here forever, do we consider the context that enforces the behavior of this safety professional's approach enough?
Probably
so do
not.
We, yeah. So do we like apply our own approaches to like the, so we talk about the shop floor, like don't judge this person's behavior and punish him for cutting his high vis, like try and understand the context. Why did he want to do that? That's where the magic is, right? Are we doing that to the, are we applying that same approach to the person that made the post?
I was pulled on this earlier, actually. And it's not the first time that I've been pulled on. My empathy and curiosity does not flow as freely towards the blunt end as it does as the sharp end.
Yeah,
it just doesn't. I have to work on it.
I remember you and I speaking about this, actually, about what's that podcast about the New Zealand mine?
Pike River, Sean Brady, ASMR safety, pretty much.
Yes. And me and you had a chat about that. I can't remember where it was, but like you quite really struggled to not blame the leadership.
I was like, fuck those guys. Like really. And if I listen to it again, I'd probably still be like, fuck those guys. I struggle with it. Still struggle with it because there's an element of me going that you're in the position of power. You have the resources. You have the knowledge. I expect you to do better. And that
We're not considering the context. So like I've just celebrated Jay's comment about saying you have to do better, but we're not considering the context of why that person is behaving like that, are we?
Because that's
where the magic is.
And look, and again, going back to the point of people saying, have the crack and a bit of banter and whatever. And maybe he knows this guy, you know, maybe there is a context of there's already a relationship built there and you can go up and have that. Like, I would hope that maybe he does know the guy, that he didn't just go in cold and say this to some young fiancé site, which would be, I think, even worse. But look, and I think a lot of this is born out of the frustrations where we see rules being broken or things not being how they ought to be on site, and knowing that actually it's because of budget constraints or program or whatever it is. So we funnel that frustration into the easiest target, which is the guys doing the job. We've all been guilty of doing that.
Which comes back to kind of what you were saying earlier, like, we bullied at home, we bully at work kind of thing. We're frustrated essentially with, like, the board are not listening to us to take this proper approach. So we kind of then exert our power or perception of power on the shop floor in a sense.
Maybe, yeah.
Interesting. Okay, I could genuinely talk to you for a million years, Elise, so you know that. But I'm going to try and find this post where I've got a load of comments and questions, and I'm going to pick one that we haven't done before. We'll finish on that. Oh, mate, I should have got this prepared before, shouldn't I? Look at this.
Well, that's because you were in a rush. You're like, here's the link, let's jump on.
Let's fucking do it. And then the second record, we press record. Second we press record, completely run out of things to talk about. Just like got massive stage fright.
God, I'm just checking LinkedIn. My notifications are going off on that fucking post.
Yeah, my own wife has just tagged me in a comment on that post. I'm slightly concerned about that.
Is she going to Berlin?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice one. I'm so excited.
Yeah, yeah. Have you met Sherry?
Yeah, once. Yeah. Do you remember I came over?
At the expo. The
panel. Yeah.
What do we need to do to prevent health and safety being a thankless task?
Ooh,
that was from Stephen Murray.
Stephen Murray, a thankless task. That's not a quick fire round question. Because I would say
we've got like 9 minutes. We try and limit this at 60 minutes max. And it's
Friday.
Listen,
I still have that really episode. That episode of Bridgerton is waiting for me. I gotta go.
I've got so much to do. Water dog. I've got to go to the pub for dinner. Like, so much to do.
It's busy life. How do we make it not a thankless task? I think we have to really interrogate what we're doing. Is it actually adding value? Because if you add value, people will recognize the value.
Yes. Yeah.
And appreciate it. If you're not adding value, what are you expecting to be thanked for? And there's also a bit of like, do we need to be thanked? I don't know. Are you getting paid to do your job? There's an element of, you know, I think, yes, we should get some fulfillment out of our job and purpose and all that stuff. But that's on you. That comes from within. That doesn't come from somebody else. So I think there's the technical element of, are you providing, like, interrogate your process, are you providing value? And then there's the personal element of a perspective shift. That would be my answer.
I like that. I'm going to, there's something I want to reference, so I'm going to quickly find it, from Daniel H. Pink's book, Drive. Remember when we read that in the book club way back when, in the original?
Was that one of the ones that I didn't finish? I can't remember if I didn't read it or didn't finish it.
I thought it was a very good book. I'd be surprised if you didn't finish it, like, because you thought it was shite. Because I thought it was really good. But I do remember being quite surprised at some of the way, we were quite different at book club.
We were different on the books. You were like, this book's unreal. And I was like, fucking dropped it at chapter two. If you haven't got me by then, I'm done.
And then you'd be like, this book was amazing. I'd be like, I thought it was shite. I remember being very surprised about that, actually. So his book's really good. It's about motivation. And it's about trying to kind of open up some of the myths around motivation. We use this kind of carrot and stick approach with, like, pay you more money if you do things right, and then whip you if you do things wrong, which is very much kind of what this post feels about that we've been talking about today as well. But what he says, what actually drives us, is autonomy, mastery, and purpose. So I talk about that a lot of work, but ultimately, like, I think in the safety profession, we're not really 100% sure on what our purpose is. We say that it is to keep people safe, right? Mm. But ultimately, there is an element of risk, and we haven't really defined safe anywhere in anything. It's like quite, I don't know, vague, and we all have our own interpretations of it. So what we could probably do better, I think, is tie ourselves to the purpose of the business. So, like, to your exact point, is how are we adding value to the bottom, to the purpose of business? How are we adding value? If we do that, I feel like our purpose is a little bit clearer, and we can kind of then enable ourselves to feel a little bit happier at the end of the day. I think there's a little bit of like personal woke shit like there, just kind of like knowing yourself a little bit more, and like, you know, and I think there's, I just couldn't think of a better way to describe it, but like, you know, the hippy dippy kind of like, what's my purpose, you know? Yeah, and all of that stuff, which is surprisingly fucking hard to do. Like, I've not really worked out.
Yeah.
But like, there's a bit of that, but I do think the businesses could do better at appreciating our roles, but then at the same time, I'm kind of like, is that because we're not providing value? Like, is it because what we're doing is not, in their eyes, worthy of a thank, to your earlier point? So I don't really know. It's a big topic, but like, ultimately, I think if we can tie ourselves to deliver, contribute to the purpose of business, I think that's how we stop being a thankless task.
There you go.
It's been really nice to talk to you. It's been a while since we've had a good chat. And then I'm going to see you next week now anyway. So it'll be like, not her again. Jesus.
Okay. James overload. All right. Come on, take it back.
Oh, mate, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you very much for randomly coming on, because I would have clearly run out of words and it would have just been just me. And go on and just be like an hour of me going, I just think it's shit, guys. Like,
it's just
an hour of me saying it's just, we could just super.
Oh, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. God. Now that's a lovely end to my Friday now.
Yeah, and my mouse is dead and I can't get the mouse to end record. There we go. I'm going to use the laptop mouse. Right, thanks for coming on, mate. It's good fun.
See you later.
Opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and its guests and do not necessarily reflect the position of the companies. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are examples only, based on limited and dated open source information, and should not be utilised in real life as the only solution available. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the companies. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, or otherwise, without prior written permission from James McPherson.